tell me your name, address and date of birth, please?
My name is Christine Evans, and I was born February the 11th, 1949.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your background, where you were born, your father, your mother, what they did for a living, that kind of thing, and whether you've got any brothers and sisters.
I was brought up in Aberdeen. I was born in Aberdeen, and my father was his first job. He was helping with the furniture shop. You know, that was his first job. Then he was a painter and decorator, and he used to do a lot of sign writing, and. He did a lot of sign writing, and of course my mother then, when she was young, her first job was she was a nanny. She was in the Black Lion. She was a nanny, and when the war broke out, she worked in the ammunition factory.
Oh right,
in Bridgend.
Bridgend, right.
In Bridgend. And then after the war, then she worked in a factory called Murphy's, which is up the Herwen Industrial Estate. And my father was a painter and decorator, and he was painting the Murphy's. He was painting and decorating. And that's how he met my mother. And it was after the war. They met in 1947. And they were married in 1948. And then I was born in 1949. I did have a sister, she was born in 1950, but she died in 1995 of cancer. And there was just two of us, there was. And then when, in 1955, my father then decided, because the money wasn't very good in the council, and he seen an advert he did in the paper saying they wanted a fault finder. But they wanted an experienced one, but he wasn't experienced. But they were willing to take him on and for him to learn the job. And he did that, and we started in 1955. So when I left school in 1964, I decided I wanted to work in the factory with my father.
Before we go there, I was going to ask you about school. Where did you go to school? Where did you go to primary school, and where did you go to secondary school?
In primary school, I lived over Cumbach, and I went to Cumbach School. I think it was called Top End School, it was infants and juniors. And then I went to Gadley School, which is just across the road from you, over there. And then I moved to Aberaman, and I still went to that same school. It was 1960, and I finished in 1964, and I was 15 when I left school.
Did you want to leave school at 15? Were you happy to go then?
Yes. Looking back, I wish I'd been at college. My mother wanted me to go further education with college. You didn't stay on at 16 then, like you do now. You left at 15. But if you wanted to go further, you go to the Aberdeen College and go there to do your further studies. But that is one of my regrets. But at the time, I didn't want to go to college. I was very shy at the time and didn't mix very good. And I didn't like the thought of going there. And I wanted to have a job, you know, have my own money. And I decided to go to Sobel's. That's where my father was working. And I went up there and I did a test. I think it was a test. And I passed the test. And
me about the test. What was the test? Do you remember?
I can't remember a lot. I think it was like colours and shapes. I think it was something to do with that. Don't remember much because it was a long time ago. I think it was like shapes and colours and stuff like that. Anyway, and as it happened, they were looking for a lot of young people to start because at the time it was booming, a TV factory. And then I started work in 1964. And I remember the record at the time that was the top of the charts. And I was Herman Zermatt's I'm Into Something Good.
Oh.
And I always remember that was number one at the time.
So that was number one when you actually started?
Started, yes.
The week you started work. Wow. So tell me about that then. Now then, when you went to the factory, were you trained at all?
I did have an induction. Did have a sort of induction. It was difficult. My first job was soldering and wiring. I had to wire the chimneys up and solder them, you know. And I got to do it all right, but it was a bit fairly fast. It was fast. And I just had to learn to pick up the speed, which I found was more difficult, more than the actual work is the speed. And it was in the factory there, you had to have a target, and you had to do the target, which was difficult, you know.
Did they give you a few weeks or something to kind of, you know, as like training or to get up to speed?
It was a week, I think. Didn't have long.
Oh, right.
And sort of picked it up, more or less. I didn't have my full pay till I was 18, because I was only 15 at the time. My wages went up. As I was going along, it went up when I was 16, it went up a bit more. Then when I was 18 then, I had the full wage.
Can you remember what you had when you started?
I think it was roughly about £2 something or £3 odd, which was quite a lot then. And it was round about that for a week. I think it was £2 something or £3 and something like that.
Were you paid bonus on top of that? Or, you know, you said you had target?
No, that was... you had a target, yeah. I think most of the targets, you had a bonus, but you had to go more or less do it anyway. So that was my take-home pay then, you know.
Right. Do you remember the first day when you walked into the factory? What was it like, you know? Had you been there before with your father, or was, you know, when you...
No, I only went to the office part.
Okay, I'll stop this.
And question me again.
So I was asking you, can you remember what it was like the first day you walked into the factory?
I can't really remember much about it. I know my father was there and he was introducing a lot of the people there, that this is my daughter, you know, and all that, you know, when I was there. But he was in a different department to me. They put me in a different department. But sometime or other, I don't know if it was the first day, I can't remember, but I know that he introduced all his workmates, you know, to me, like. And a lot of them there thought I was cute because I was small,
yeah.
You know. And they thought I was, they said, oh, she's cute, because I was small. And my hair was blonde then and everything, you know.
Do you remember what the building was like, though? You know, do you remember anything about the factory, kind of?
I did find it a bit noisy, because there was a lot of the air guns going off, and the different things happening, the tellies. I remember the tellies going around and the conveyor, and it was going above. There was the conveyor right above, and you could see all the tellies all going round, you know, and different lines. Everybody was doing something different, you know. There were different departments. One was just packing the tellies into the boxes, another one was doing something else, or, you know, there was different parts.
How did you feel? Because you said you were a shy girl. How did you feel? How did you feel, you know, walking into such a big place?
I was nervous in the beginning, yeah. It's like with everything else, get used to it then, you know.
Yeah.
But I felt a bit better knowing my father was there.
Yeah.
You know, because he was there if I needed anything. Because at the end of the day, I was only 15, like. And they did have another building. While I was there a while, they said for me to go to another building. I went to another building, and it was just the radio part, where they were making transistor radios. And then later on then, when I had a bit of money then, and I bought myself my own transistor radio at a reduction price. And I remember being so proud that I earned my own transistor radio. And it was great. And I used to take it up to my bedroom in the night to listen to Radio Luxembourg, which is And
so,
I
was going to ask you, talking about the money now then, because you said you earned about £2. What did you do with that money at the beginning, you know, when you started working? Did you...
Well, I give some money to my mother.
Yeah.
You know, and she gives them to me. And I could do whatever I want with it, you know.
You didn't have to give it all to your mum then?
No, she took some of it, and she gave some to me. So I could buy what I want, as long as I give some to father. And me and my father, we used to come home, and my mother used to have the dinner for us. But we used to take sandwiches. I mean, they had a canteen there where you could have food there. But I used to take sandwiches and a flask of tea for my break. And my mother used to make food for me and my father when we used to come home. Well, when I first went there, they laid on buses, here in industrial estate, and they were double-decker buses.
And where were you going from now, when you first went there? Were you going from Aberaman?
Aberaman, yes.
Yeah. So tell me about the journey to work then.
Well, I used to get up early, and I found it hard in the beginning, getting up in the mornings. My mother used to call me, and I, you know. And
what time did the bus go?
I think it was about, if I remember rightly, it was about 7:15. So I had to get up quite early, about 6:00. I was catching the bus at 7:15 up the road in Aberaman. And I knew the time, the bus, I think it was 7:15 it was coming. So I think I was at the bus stop around about 7:05. And the bus was supposed to be coming about 7:15 from Cwmaman. And it was coming in the bus stop about that. And we take us straight into the industrial estate. And then in 1966, my father had his first car. I was only 17. He had his first car, so I used to go in the car with him then instead.
How long did the bus journey take? What time did you start?
I had to start at 8:00.
Right.
So I was there about 7:50, something like that.
And how long did it take you in the car?
It didn't take quite so long as that. I was there about 10 minutes before, about 20 to something like that. Yeah.
Did you have to change buses in Aberdare, or did they go from Aberaman all the way?
No, they had buses going from everywhere. And there was one coming from Kamama and there was another one from Kumde. And the factory was so established, they were in the money, they could afford it.
So they were paying for the buses?
I think so, not sure I mind.
Right.
About it. Don't quote me for definite on that. But they did lay on, I suppose, they must have contributed. And there were buses from everywhere. And they were coming, not from locally, they were coming from Falkirk, Bygod. They were coming from Leith.
Mm.
Not just locally, they were coming from everywhere. And there were buses laid on for everybody. So there were buses everywhere. And they had bus stops outside and where the buses were coming in. And the buses, when we would come out, when I first started, I think the time was 5 o'clock. And they changed it then to 4:30. It was 5 o'clock. But the buses were there waiting for us ready. We go to our bus stop and then it would take us straight home.
So even when you caught the bus, getting to work and getting home was quite easy then?
Yeah. Because of the special buses, yeah.
How many of you worked in the factory, do you remember?
How many was there altogether?
Yeah.
I can't answer that. It was quite a big factory. It was huge, different departments everywhere. And they had another part, they were doing radios as well. It was quite big. Canteen and everything.
And were you mainly women or was it...
No, it was men as well.
Was it a sort of equal mix of men?
Well, and women? Where the department is, where the lines, you're working on the lines, it was all women.
Yeah.
But they had another part where they had the men, they were doing lifting the tellies. They were doing the heaviest part, lifting the tellies. And my father was doing fault finding, he used to find the faults on the tellies. And they were doing, there was a man then who was doing, he used to do the soldering irons. And there was people then having forklifts, there were men doing their jobs. And women were doing their jobs, it was that kind of thing. It wasn't mixed on the line, but men were doing their job, women were doing another.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yes.
But we weren't mixed on the line.
No, not mixed on the line, but a mixed workforce.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So take me through a day's work then when you started working there. What you did. And what your breaks were and stuff like that.
Well, I used to, it depends on my work. I had, because I was there for such a long time, I was doing different jobs.
Right.
I was mostly on the line, doing the line work.
And you were soldering then, were you?
Yeah, some of the jobs were soldering, some of them wasn't.
Right.
Some of the lines. You just put the components in and you had they were called ops, they were called. And they were like it looked like a box, it looked like a wooden, and it had holes in it, like funnels, big deep funnel with holes, and it had resistors, all the components that went to the panels. And what was difficult, you got all the colours, different colours now. I could be a resistor, which is orange, green and red, whatever. And I had a sample, I had to follow the sample, that was mine. Now the girl that was next to me, she had hers. So she had hers to put in. And you had to remember where the resistors went in each hole. It was difficult in the beginning because to remember, but as you go along, when you was doing it, you was remembering where to put them, like a jigsaw then,
Yeah.
And you were putting them in, there's this exact hole, and once the girl done her job, I put mine in. and you know, and you had a girl then, we used to call her the trackie, and any material we wanted, we used to call her, Brenda, come here, Brenda, I want so-and-so, I want resistors, can I have resistors, I'm nearly running out. She'd go to the storeroom and get the resistors and put them in my op for me. So I was filled up, you know, with them ready. Yeah. But it was quite fast. And sometimes it was difficult when they were coming, and it was quite hands-on. And then towards the end girl then puts it over, it goes over the solder bath. There was a girl on the end, she'd put them onto the solder bath. And it was going round, it was like a round, spinning round. And it was all full of hot solder. And that panel would go right over it, like that, moving along, right on top of the solder. And it would solder it all for you. So you didn't have to solder, it would do it all for you.
Yes.
And that's what you call it, you used to call it the solder bath.
Right. Right.
You know, so that was one part. There was another line then where you had to do your own solder.
Right.
There was some girls in, they were doing the, which is in the photo I give you, is the, there's a woman next to me, and it was like an air gun, you know, and it was on like a spring,
yeah.
And you bring it down like that, and it's like a drill, and you drill the screws in or whatever it is, and it makes a noise. It was quite noisy there, you know, sometimes. Yes. Yeah.
You said you did several different jobs. Tell me how your jobs changed over the years then.
Quite a bit. I done quite a few. There was another one then I remember, and there was doing the leads. There was different colour leads I had to put together, a lot of leads. There's the photo I give you then, that was doing that on my own, and it was a machine, and it had a glass around it, so I couldn't hurt myself. It was dangerous, really. But I had to put these, they were like copper little staples, like my staples, and I was putting them into what you call bars. They were like plastic bars. And he was putting them in there, and you put them through the hole of the machine, and you press it down. So the silver things would go into the bar. You were pulling it down, and they were, you know, and then it's all you do then is pull them out, and then you put them into the box, you know. That was quite easy, that one was. But there were some jobs easier than others, you know. But I found that one easy. I was on that one while. So there was so many different jobs I was doing. I don't remember them all. But on a Christmas time, we had a bit of fun.
Tell me, before we leave the jobs, I wanted to ask you, because you told me on the phone that you were working on colour television.
There were panels, as I was saying, they were called the decoder panels. And I think it was 1960, I can't remember it exactly, it was the late 60s.
But they would have been brand new, it would have been a new...
It was a new thing, and we were all excited about it.
Yeah.
I think it was... 68 or 1969, roundabout by there, the end of the 60s, and it was on colour telly. We were excited about it, so I was on that line, and they were called decoder panels, and they really were same as all the other panels, different components you were put on like. And there were resistors and stuff.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, resistors and, there was tuners there. There were some jobs, and there were tuners, and there were like valves. And I remember to this day, I still got a scar on my thumb there. I got a scar on my thumb. And I remember putting a valve in and I cut myself with a glass.
Mm.
And I remember going to the first aid place there. And they done that, there was a lot of blood everywhere. And I still got a scar today a little bit, which I threw a pressing on the valve. And I done it twice. It's putting too much pressure. I also got a couple of, one or two scars on my leg because at the time we used to wear mini skirts because it was all a go on there. But we had to wear overalls, but because my skirts were short, if any sawdust sometimes get on my leg, it used to burn my leg, and solder burn is awful. It was really, you're jumping, it was really painful. And it used to burn. And I got a little white scar on my leg when I had it at the time. You know, and we all used to wear mod gear.
Yeah.
But we couldn't, we had to wear sensible shoes, you know.
Yeah.
We had to be careful with the shoes.
Right.
But we could wear mini skirts as long as our overalls were over protecting us.
What colour were your overalls, you?
But at the time, but I know they changed it after when I went to Hitachi. When I went to Hitachi, everybody had the same colour and had the same uniforms with a name and everything. But at that time, you could have any overall you wanted, whatever colour you wanted.
So did they give you the overall or did you have to buy it?
No, I think I bought my own overall. And they also give you, when I started, they give you a pliers and a cutters, and that was yours. You had to keep it.
Did you have to pay for those?
No.
Right.
I didn't pay for them. They supplied us with that, and that was yours. You had to keep it, that was yours.
Was your name on them?
No, I don't think it was.
Right.
But I had to make sure they were mine.
Yes. I just wanted to ask you a couple more things about the colour tellies. Were you aware when you were making them that they were like, you know, really kind of cutting edge?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you were aware of the kind of how big it was then?
Yes,
like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was all exciting for all of us, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, and I was going to have colour telly, like.
Yeah. And you said you bought a radio. Did you buy a colour telly? Because they were really expensive.
I can't remember when we were black and white for quite a while. I don't remember when we had it because my father was working there. My father bought the telly, obviously.
Yeah.
He used to buy the tellies. And of course, I don't remember when it was.
But did you have one early on, or did you have to wait a bit for the colour telly? Because they were really expensive, weren't they? If I
don't think we had one straight away.
No.
But I don't think we was long, because we could have a reduction, because we worked there.
Right.
So we had a reduction. So I don't think we had one straight away, but I don't think it was very long we had one.
All right.
Yeah, and
do you remember what the reduction was? Do you remember how much you had off?
No.
Percent?
I don't remember that. I do remember my father at the time, loads of people were knocking on the door asking to mend their tellies. Because at the time, TVs used to break, or there was a fault or whatever in them. And they weren't built to last, I don't think. I don't know, everybody in the street were knocking at the door. They knew, come and have a look at my telly's broke or whatever. So when he said, I'll have a look to see what parts I got.
Right.
Sometimes he'd have a bag of parts on him, you know. If he didn't, and he couldn't get a part, he used to tell him, if we can wait and then see if we can get a part in work, you know. And he'd go back and knock at the door, I got a part for you. And he used to mend the tellies, and he used to have a few bob, you know. Give him a couple of bob, like they're doing it. He's quite happy with that, like. And he often used to do it, you know, mend the tellies for them, because he was a fault finder, he knew all the faults that was in the tellies, you know.
Was that above board? Did people in the factory know who he was doing that?
I suppose so, I don't know. But he was a senior there.
Yeah.
And he was, first he was Sobels.
Yeah.
And then it was GC. And then it was Hitachi then.
Last gone off,
then it was Hitachi, see.
When did it become Hitachi?
I don't know, it was in the 70s. It was, because I finished in 1980.
Right.
I finished because I was having my son. I was pregnant and I was having my son. I could have went back, because they kept my job open.
Yes.
But as it happened, I didn't have anyone to babysit, because my mother wouldn't babysit. It was too much for her. And my husband at the time, his mother didn't want to babysit. So I thought, oh, well, I'll finish work and look after myself, you know. And I preferred to watch him myself anyway. So I decided to finish, and that was 1980. So I think Hitachi was, I'd say, in the 70s. You know, it was from, I don't know exactly, I can't remember. But it was a few years before I finished.
I see.
From about 76, 77. Something like that.
And when did it stop being Sobels then and become GEC? Do you remember?
I think that was must have been in the early 70s, I think.
Oh, as early as that, right.
I think it was the early 70s.
Right.
And then Hitachi came in the late 70s, I think. I'm just guessing, I don't remember. This is such a while ago, I've forgotten.
Yeah. So, was there... sorry. Was there an union in the factory, and were you a member?
I was in the union. I had to pay something towards it. You know, being in a union, yeah.
Do you remember which union it was?
No.
Do you remember any disputes?
Yes, yeah, quite a lot. In fact, there was strikes. There went loads and loads of strikes. There was quite a few strikes. There was, and we also had a 3-day one as well. And we had the work wasn't so good. And I think that was when they decided to go to GEC, I think. And then it was the same thing when GEC went to Hitachi, because the work was drying up, you know. And then because there wasn't so much work, we was working a 3-day. So we had to go up the dole to sign on to make up our money to have the rest of it, because we only had 3 days. Work of 3 days. Mm. Remember that? And
so
we had picket strikes and things, lots of strikes.
What were the strikes about then?
About money.
About money always?
Yes, always about money.
And then later about this 3-day thing?
Yeah, 3 days then after.
Were you affected by the miners' strike as well in the 70s?
No, not really. I do remember when we had, they were going to do a tip. And we had a bit of a row. That was a protest as well. The ash chip, they were going to have it by the... No, it wasn't the ash chip. Trying to think. Was it the gas? Was it the gas? Either a tip or it was something to do with the gas works or something. I can't remember. But there was something up at that time, and they were protesting, and they was trying to stop the lorries coming through. But they, because of what happened, then it was televised and everything, they decided to move it somewhere else. I think it was the gasworks or something. There was something up.
What happened with your disputes about money? How were they resolved? Did you usually win and get money?
Yeah, mostly. We had loads of meetings. All the meetings were in the canteen. Loads of meetings. But I was very quiet. I never used to say nothing. I just used to listen to it all. Because I wasn't one of these to shout out, you know?
No. But you were, they were usually resolved favourably for you then?
Yes.
Yes.
We also had one or two then of hooks, and at the time the one used bomb scares. And they used to have, they were quite, most of them were hooks. But because of it, we were all afraid and we used to go home early.
Mm.
Because they used to say there was a bomb in the factory. And we all used to go home. There were quite a few of them, there was. Mm. Bomb scares, yeah.
Right.
Through them.
Who was responsible for them then?
Don't know, really. This is scary, so all like,
yeah. Do you think, well, you said you had a few little accidents. Do you think the work was dangerous, you know?
Well, when I first, I do remember when I was 15, they put me on this job and I was really frightened of it. And it was a wheel going very fast. And I thought, if my hand goes in there, now we'll be about it. And you had to put, like, it was a radio, when I was in the radio part of the, when they put me in for radios. And it was the back of a radio, it was. And it was like a polisher. But it was, the wheel was going fast. There was no guard on it.
Mm.
And I thought, there should have been a guard on that. But it wasn't at that time. Right, not long after, I think they did, it was then you had to have guards. But I remember it was 1964 and they didn't have no guards then. But not long after they did. And I was frightened because they put me on this and I had to put this thing now underneath the back of the radio. On, it's like a panel radio which was. And it's supposed to smooth it, you know, and shine it, like a polish thing. And you put it on the underneath this wheel, and the wheel was going fast, and I was terrified.
Yeah.
And I told my father, and my father said, "You shouldn't be doing it. You're only 15." So anyway, my father went and seen about it. They didn't know because I looked older at the time. They thought I was older than 15. So anyway, and my father went to see about it, and they said, "Is my daughter not supposed to go on there because she's only 15?" Because I was underage doing it. So anyway, they found out my age then, and I come off it, I didn't have to want it anymore.
Mm.
But then I thought to myself, well, for any age really, that was dangerous, because there was no guard or nothing on there, you know?
Were you aware of anybody getting a bad accident when you worked there?
I did know about one, but I don't know if it was done in that factory, or it was done somewhere else, I do not know. I still remember him. I didn't remember his name. His name was Tony, and he was the iron boy, and he used to do the irons. And his hand was like that. All his arm, he could only, and I think it was his hand. His hand. Not sure if it was done in that factory, or if it was done somewhere else. But I do remember he had his hand off, and he had a false hand. I don't know if it was his arm or just his hand. And he stole his hand. He was like that. He stole it like that, you know, stiff line, you know.
Mm.
And yeah, he always used to wear a glove on his hand, and he had artificial hand, I think, because he caught his hand, and so he's in somewhere, you know, in some machinery.
Yeah.
So I do remember that, but I don't remember it actually happening.
No.
But I knew about it.
Yes.
You know, and I used to take it, your irons up to him to do these to well, you know, scraping or do the irons, you know, because they used to have holes in them sometimes, and you have to take it up to have a new one. Or you'd have to make it new again for you, your iron, you know?
Mm.
And we all had olders, put your iron in, like.
Mm.
But they were very hot, you had to be very careful with the burns, you know?
Yes.
They had a first aid room there. I wasn't a first aider then.
No. But, and you had a nurse, did you?
Yeah, there was a nurse there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think you were looked after quite well at the factory, or you know, do you think the workers were treated well there on the whole?
Yes, I think so. There was a different foreman there, and different, and because my father was well known there, so I knew that if anything was, I did have a couple of the girls were a bit not very nice to me because I was very quiet. I was picked on a few times, you know. And I was on one line, and this girl, she wasn't very nice to me. And I remember crying, and I went to the office, and she wasn't very nice. And as it happened, they'd done me a favour. They put me on another line. And when I went on this other line, it was great. They would go every Friday night, this woman on this line, she was doing a minibus. Anybody that wanted to go on this minibus, now, on a Friday night, we'd go to nightclubbing. So they did me a favour of going on this line. I thought, great, he says. And they asked me if I'd like to go, and I said yes. So I was going then, and made friends with them, you know, better than the line I was on, because they weren't very nice, and one or two of them, you know, other days they were a bit bitchy and all that, like, you know. Because I was quiet, you know, they sort of made fun, like, you know. But I went on to this other line, and it was great. And where are we going tonight? And we're going to Swansea tonight. And if I wasn't too tired, because sometimes I was tired, I didn't want to go out. But most of the time, because I was young at the time, I had more energy then, like, you know. And I was a dancer, I still love dancing. And I love music.
Yeah.
I'm a music fan, and I still am today. I still like music, and I still like dancing.
Right.
And my partner's the same. He loves not so much dancing, but music. And that's what we got in common, is music. We got a lot in common. Not rock classic music, but pop music. And I used to love Motown.
Yeah,
still do now, more time soul and pop.
Yeah.
And my partner loves blues, rock and folk. And we both into music. And we used to go in a lot of places. We used to go for the pop quiz. And we used to win quite a few prizes. Both of us do a pop quiz. Perhaps I'd have more of a rock one, he'd have it. Pop one, I'd have it. And we were both good in pop music, you know, and music, you know. We knew all the names of the songs, and my partner still knows the names of every group, the names of the players. You know, we were both into that kind of thing, you know.
Well, let me ask you about music in Sobel's then. Did they used to play music in Sobel?
They used to play music, and sometimes I used to take records there.
All right.
And you could bring your own records in.
Oh, could you?
And I used to bring my own record in, and I made sure I had it back towards the end, right? And they used to play, they play my record, and we'd be singing away. We still have to work, but we'd be singing away, you know, to the music, like, and it's been great. You know?
Did you was it 45s you used to take in? Or
yes, 45s.
Do you remember what you used to take in there?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember what records they were. They were music at the time.
Yeah.
And I always remember this girl back in the 60s, late 60s. There were bells around your neck. I never had one. But there used to have little bells around the neck, which was a kind of hippie-ish, really, the bells. And at that time, it was very... It was all the hippie movement. It was love and peace, and it was all that. And I used to love having my hair. I used to have my hair blonde, and I used to backcomb it up, all up like that. And I used to have it flicking up, you know, and all that. Like, I used to, you know, really took a lot of pride in myself then, because I was young, like. And I used to, you know. And sometimes I used to like the boys there, you know, fellas there, like, you know. You wore fancy him, like, you know, and things like that, like, you know. We used to do that. some people used to meet there, or, but I never met anybody there like.
What was the relationship like between the men and the women at Sobel's? Was it good, or was it harassment? You know, was
no,
there any...
I don't know much about it. I think a lot of husband and wives were there as well, you know, and they started having part-time workers there as well, you know, people doing part-time. And sometimes when we used to go home, you get people in the evenings doing them, part-time evenings. But I used to do a lot of overtime as well. And I remember doing overtime on a Tuesday night, on a Thursday night for 2 hours, I think it was. On a Saturday morning, I used to do Saturday morning, and you get paid then for 4 hours for doing two, I think it was. Oh. And we used to do...
So you used to get double time, did you?
Yes, on a Saturday.
On a Saturday.
Saturday morning.
What about when you worked late? Did you get time and a half or double
no,
time then?
No, not for that.
No.
But you didn't have to do it, but we used to do it just for extra money, you know.
Yeah. Did they ask you to do it then? They didn't tell you to do it? They asked
no,
you?
No, they asked you, would you like to?
Yes.
And, you know, and they say, yes, I'd like to do it. They put your name down. And if you're going somewhere, no, I can't go, I'm going somewhere, whatever, you know. And I think it's like,
Can I just ask you, you said you weren't paid a full wage till you were 18. Do you remember how much you were paid then when you were 18?
I can't remember exactly, but I think it was around about £10.
Right, was it quite a bit more then?
I think it was around about round about then.
And that would have been
1967. Yeah,
1967.
Yeah, 1967.
I was 18. Yeah. So how did the money feel in those days? Was that a good wage? Did that feel?
It was.
Yeah.
It was in them days. I thought, oh, £10 was a lot. Well, it was, wasn't it? You know. I said, oh, good. You know. It was, quite happy with that, like. And of course you had a wage packet then every week. You'd all be lined up ready, and they'd call your name, and you'd have your, and we also had clocking cards, and you clock in and you clock out, and you had a certain number. You had a number, you know, and you clock in, clock out, like.
Yes. So you spent your money on going out, did you? And, you know, when you had this money then, what did you spend it on? Tell me what you spent it on.
Well, records, you know, because I used to like records. And makeup, you know, so like makeup. And perhaps something to wear, something nice to wear, you know, things like that. And sometimes I just to keep it for when we used to go out for a night out, you know, with my friends, like. They also had a Miss GEC for a few years running, and they were asking for people to go for Miss GEC, anybody wanted to do it. But I didn't want to do it. A couple of girls said, oh, go on and try it and all that, like. So I did it once, but I didn't want to do it again. I was awful nervous and everything. Didn't like it very much. And I did try it, didn't get anywhere, but at least I tried it. Everybody said I was nice looking, which I was when I was younger, but it's because my height, I was quite small, and they like to have tall people. And the, you know, because I remember my mother telling me, because my mother was nice looking when she was young, and they told her the same, is what knocked her back in going is because she was short. And they said that she was good looking, she'd win, you know, but, you know, because she was short.
Yeah.
It was the same for me, you know. Mm-hmm. But I won't worry. I had a makeup bag. Everybody had something, a consolation prize, you know, and we all had this little, I had this makeup bag.
So
I was quite happy with that.
Where did Miss GC happen then?
It happened in Swansea Top Rank.
All right.
Because we used to often have doors there, Top
in
Rank
the top
doors,
rank.
Yes. They had one in Cardiff once or twice, but mostly Swansea because it was bigger. And it's been great, you know, and dancing it was. Like, it was mixed dancing. They used to have a band for the old time dancing. And they also have the records in for the people who were doing the disco, like.
So did the factory, did they arrange that for you, or did the workers at the factory arrange it?
No, I think it was the firm. The
yes.
firm used to do it.
Right. And was that something special, like Christmas or something? You know, what time of year it was?
I think it was in the summer.
Right.
I can't remember exactly, but I think it was round about in the summertime. And they used to do once a year, went on for a few years. And I used to enjoy it, it was lovely air. I remember going into the toilets and it was all lit up, you know, and it was all like, all the toilets were all like, where you do your makeup, all lights and all. It was really elegant looking and things like that. And I used to love my dancing. And I still do today, although I can't do much now because my arthritis.
Mm.
But I used to disco dancing mostly. I used to love disco dancing, you know. And anything new come up, I used to do it. Me and my sisters at the time, we used to do the bump. That was whatever that was the trend there, we used to do it, you know. When I was young, I used to love the twist. That was my dance, the twist. You know, I didn't do a lot of jiving.
Mm.
I'd been twisting, so like, and the disco music.
Mm.
My mother taught me to do a little bit of ballroom dancing. Did a bit of that. But I'm on a great level of it. I can't, at the moment now, I can do a bit of line dancing. I do a bit of line dancing, you know.
Well, tell me, did you used to have Christmas doors with the factory then? Did they used to put on, how did you celebrate Christmas?
What we used to do, no, we didn't have another. What we used to do, the last day of all, we used to work in the morning, and then after, we used to have our dinner, and after dinner then, we'd all stop. The foreman and the foreman didn't mind us stopping. And they used to come round then, every line, the foreman on the line used to have a tin of chocolates, Quality Street of Roses, and they used to give us all sweets.
Right.
So anyway, and everybody used to bring drink in. We used to put it underneath the benches. And then after dinner, then we used to pick our drink out, and then we'd be drinking, having a drink on the line, like.
On the line. What did the management think of that then?
They didn't mind, you know, as long as we'd done our work in the morning, they didn't mind us having, because a little drinking, and some of us used to get a bit of drink, and they used to have tinsel in their hair and acting silly and all that, like. I remember once, we had one of those huge bins, one of those big bins, big plastic bins. There was a big huge bin, and there was one or two of the girls when they used to have a few drinks. They used to grab hold of. I remember he was a bloke. He was a short bloke, and they pushed him into this bin for a laugh. They come on in the bin, and they pushed him in the bin, and they were all laughing, you know. It's just a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And he used to get up and he said, you beggars, you know. It was just a bit of fun. Some of us used to go home then. Some of us, a lot of the people then, they used to go to the pub nearest in Irwin. Right, we'd all meet so-and-so for a drink. They'd all meet in the pub after, and all the workers, and we'd all have a drink there.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Before going home, Sam used to go home, they never bothered. But, that's about it, I think, you know.
Yes. What about holidays then? When did you have holidays?
We used to have We used to have 2 weeks off for Easter, and we'd have a week off Whitsun, and we'd have 2 weeks on our summer holiday. It was what you call the minors.
Oh, right.
It was the same as the, it was the last week of July and the first week of August. That was our holiday.
Yes.
And we went away a lot. And my father had a touring caravan at the time. And we used to go off then and we used to go to Pathcall a lot.
And always holiday with the family?
Yes, always with the family. We used to go to Pathcall. And we used to go to Tenby. No, never went abroad, nothing like that. But did go to Devon 1 year, you know. My father had a car, we just used to go off, you know, places like. And I always on a Sunday, we used to be miserable on a Sunday. And of course then, everything was closed then, and we were all miserable. My father said, come on, he said, we'll have early dinner. Let's go off for a ride in the car. So we used to have early dinner. And then we used to go past the seaside, or past we got bread and beatons, or, you know, just for a ride in the car, to get us out to the house, you know.
Yeah. What about the factory? Did you ever go on you know, trips from the factory to other places?
No.
No. Right. Okay.
Can't think of any.
So tell me then, did you enjoy, on the whole, you know, did you enjoy working in the factory?
Yes.
What was the, what about job satisfaction? Were you bored ever, or was it, or did you find it monotonous, or did you find the work okay?
I found it, there was some jobs I went on were harder than others. So, yes. You know, but on the majority, I enjoyed it there, you know? Because I did have that incident with that line, and then one or two of them girls, you know, but everybody has that line. But on the whole, they were great times, and I really, really enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah. So apart from that incident, how did you find the relationship with the women there, you know, the camaraderie, that kind of thing?
Like I said, there's some women there, you know, you get all kinds, you know, you get some, they're not very nice, you know, they bullyish then, you know, if somebody was quiet then, you know.
Yes.
But apart from that one line, which one or two of the girls weren't really nice, the majority of time I was okay, and they were quite friendly, you know, they were nice, especially that line I went on. And there I went on nightclubs and everything with them, and it was great, you know.
Did you make good friends there?
Yes, I made quite a lot of friends there.
So, when did you decide to leave, and why did you leave?
Well, I decided to leave because I was having my son. And I wasn't very well, so I could have gone on till I was nearly coming up to my time. But I've...
What do you mean by your time?
When I was just about having...
John, oh, the baby, sorry, yeah. Yes, I see.
When I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And some to go on were they just about nearly, you know, about a month before or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But I finished just after I was about 2 or 3 months, because I didn't feel very well, felt sick and everything.
Yeah.
So I decided to finish a bit earlier, I went on the sick because I wasn't very well.
So how long did you work in the factory then? It was
nearly 16 years, I'd
16
say.
16 years.
16 years.
It's a long time.
Yes, 1964 to 1980. My son was born 1980. Yes.
What did you do after, well, you had a baby, but did you do any work after that, and did you ever work in a factory again?
I also said I went back to GEC. I went to college, because when my son was 16 then, I had to come off job income support, and I had to go on job seekers, because he was 16, he was older, and I had to start looking for work. So I decided I wanted to do a kitchen because I used to love cooking a kitchen when I was in school. I was always into cooking and doing catering and stuff. So I decided to go to college. So as it happened, I asked the Dole if it was okay if I, and I was on what you call the New Deal. When I first went there, I was just doing part-time. I think I'd done once a week part-time at the college doing the cooking, you know. Then when they said I can go on the New Deal, they said they will pay for me to go full-time for a year. So that's what I decided then, to go full-time for a year to learn to get my NVQ. And I passed it, I did my NVQ level 2 in cooking and catering, catering hospitality, which is called that was called. And so I done that. And while I was in college, you had to do work placement.
Yes.
So you had to go somewhere in a kitchen to on placement to learn how to do it. So I went, I had to do 2. One was in Asda, in the kitchen in Asda, so it was one placement.
Yes.
And I had to do it for 2 weeks.
Yes.
I didn't get paid, but that was just a work placement.
Yeah.
And my other one was in, you could go wherever you were, you wanted, your choice. So I decided I wanted to go at GC.
Oh,
right. Right where attached, you would say. To go in the canteen there and have a look around where I used to work.
Yes.
So they did it, so I went there and I went in the kitchen part there. I was having a look around, you know, trying, but it looked different because it was changed a bit. They changed it around. So it did look a bit different when I was there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went to the kitchen there, and when it was dinner time, the workers were coming in then, and because I was helping with the food, some of them knew me, and they said, "Oh, hello, I haven't seen you for ages," and all that. "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm doing catering now," and all that, like. And they remembered me, they were still there. And it is great that they still remembered me from that time.
Yeah.
And this was 2001.
Oh, right. So, apart from that then, did you keep, when you left now, when you left, it was Hitachi when you left, was it?
Yes.
So, when you left, did you keep in touch with anybody from work?
No.
And looking back now then, how do you feel about the time you spent working in the factory?
I'd often think back at the times, and sometimes, as it happened, the 60s and 70s were a great time for me, and I just enjoyed everything about it, you know.
Yeah.
And as I said, like every time, there was good and bad, whatever, but I used to love the music and the fashion and everything that was at the time. And it's because I was it's reminiscing because I was in my youth, I was younger and everything. And I often think back and I thought to myself, I wish I had that time over again. I'd love to go back to the 60s and 70s. If I had my wish, I'd love to go back there.
And what about going back to work in the factory? Would you go back again?
Yes, I wouldn't mind that at all. Yeah. Yeah, it was great times, you know. But I got my memories, like, you know, things like that. Like. And I got that one photo there. I didn't have any more. It's all just this, that one a while, but it was great there.
That's great. Thank you very much, Christine.
Yeah.